If you would, turn in your Bibles to Acts chapter 9. Acts chapter 9. I want to welcome everyone here. If you're visiting with us, you're honored guests. Thank you for coming out and worshiping with us tonight. I want to thank the elders for their confidence and for the privilege to be able to bring a lesson before you tonight. Tonight's lesson is entitled A New Beginning, 2016. A lot of sermons at the beginning of the year, we talk about resolutions, or we talk about things that we want to do for the year. And when I wrote this sermon, I was actually going against that. I went in a different direction. And I wanted to talk about a new beginning. And that's something that is very familiar with me. I'm in sales. Sales is really interesting. We go January 1st to December 31st. Whatever you did the previous year is irrelevant in the beginning of the new year. January 1st, who cares what I did last year? No, actually, nobody cares what I did last year. Everybody only cares what I'm going to do this year. And so every year I have a new beginning. And with that new beginning, I've got new markets I have to deal with. I have new situations. I have, financial issues and political issues and all kinds of things you can imagine in my business. And it changes from year to year. Some years you're happy to get out of. Some years you cannot wait till January 1st because it was a bad year. And you're like, whoa, I know I can do better. And some years you're like, wow. Could we have this year over again? It was really, really well and went really well for me. Tonight, if you're someone who's not a Christian, I want you to pay attention to the lesson tonight because you definitely could have a new beginning tonight. If you're someone who is having a bad year or you're struggling as a Christian, I think this sermon is relevant too. You could have a new beginning as well. And if there's something in your life that you want to change and you want to see an example in Scripture of that, I think tonight's lesson will be relevant as well. And so, the person we're going to focus on who I think understands new beginnings in the New Testament better than anyone is the Apostle Paul. And so, before we start, I have a quote here. It says, "Don't be afraid of change is leading you to a new beginning." And change is going to do that. And change does that for all of us. And I think when we see the lesson tonight, we'll agree with that. The Apostle Paul, he had an interesting life. Let's look here in Acts 22. Here he is telling us his story before we get started. Acts 22, verse 1. "Brothers and fathers, listen now to my defense. When they heard him speak to him in Aramaic, they became very quiet. Then Paul said, 'I am a Jew, born in Tarsus of Cilicia, but brought up in this city. I studied under Gamaliel and was thoroughly trained in the law of the ancestors. I was just as zealous for God as any of you are today. I persecuted the followers of this way to their death, arresting both men and women and throwing them into prison. As the high priest and all the council can themselves testify, I even obtained letters from them and to their associates in Damascus, and went there to bring these people as prisoners to Jerusalem to be punished.'" You see, Paul started out having a pretty good life, it seems. Here he is studying at the feet of Gamaliel, probably one of the best educations you could get at that time. I doubt very few people had a better education, especially a Jew. Here he had buddies that he went to that were highly educated. They hung out. If they had birthday parties, they hung out at birthday parties. If they had sporting events, they high-fived. He had a group of people around him, and he thought his life was going in some certain direction. He was so zealous and so excited about his life and where he was at, he asked for letters. He asked permission to go out and stomp out this group of Christians or this Christianity or these people. He went out persecuting them and arresting them. He did not do it maliciously. He did it because he said, "I was zealous for God." You see, he thought he was doing what was right. And he thought he was doing it wholeheartedly and with all of his might. He was serving God. And he was throwing people into prison, breaking up families, persecuting, killing people. Paul was doing all of these things, or Saul as we see here. In Acts chapter 8, we see here in Acts chapter 8, this is where we see Christians and different ones being persecuted. And we see, it should be Acts chapter 7, Acts chapter, Stephen's death here. I don't know why I have that passage. But anyway, and Paul, and he approved of their killing. He approved of all of their killing. and especially here of Stephen when he was stoned. He was there and he approved of that. Acts chapter 9, though, verse 1 is where we're starting off. Meanwhile, Saul was still breathing out murderous threats against the Lord's disciples. He went to the high priest and he asked him for letters to the synagogues in Damascus, so that if he found any there who belonged to the way, whether men or women, he might take them as prisoners to Jerusalem. Men or women, he didn't care. Paul was zealously going out and bringing these people in. But something happened. Look here in Acts chapter 9 and verse 3. As he is on his path, starting in verse 3 here, as he neared Damascus on his journey, suddenly a light from heaven flashed around him. He fell to the ground and heard a voice say to him, "Saul, Saul, why do you persecute me?" "Who are you, Lord?" Saul asked. "I am Jesus, whom you are persecuting," he replied. "Now get up and go into the city, and you will be told what you must do." The men traveling with Saul stood there speechless. They heard the sound but did not see anyone. Saul got up from the ground, but when he opened his eyes, he could see nothing. So they led him by the hand to Damascus. For 3 days he was blind and did not eat or drink anything. You see, Paul was headed on this path of persecuting Christians and going after them, men or women, and throwing them into jail. And Jesus showed up. You see, Jesus changed Paul's path. Jesus came in and turned him in a 180 degree, going in the opposite direction that he was going. You see, Paul's life turned around. Jesus can do the same thing for you. Jesus can turn your life around. Jesus can help you and have a 180 degree turn in your life. And Jesus can be there for you. What direction is your life going right now? Are you going closer to Jesus? Or are you going further away? Are you making decisions in your life that are making you a stronger Christian? Or are you making decisions in your life that are making you a weaker Christian? Are you making decisions that you're flirting with the world? What direction are you going? And if it's not going in the right direction, Jesus can change that direction. Jesus changed Paul's direction here. And Paul doesn't know yet what direction he's going to be going, but his direction has changed. His path now is not going the way that he had intended for it to. And he began going in a different direction. Let's look at verse 10. In Damascus, there was a disciple named Ananias. The Lord called to him in a vision, "Ananias." "Yes, Lord," he answered. The Lord told him, "Go to the house of Judas on the straight street and ask for a man from Tarsus named Saul, for he is praying. In a vision he was seen a man named Ananias come and placed his hands on him to restore his sight." "Lord," Ananias answered, "I have heard many reports about this man and all the harm he has done to your holy people in Jerusalem. And he has come here with authority from the chief priest to arrest all who call on your name. But the Lord said to Ananias, 'Go. This man is my chosen instrument to proclaim my name to the Gentiles and their kings and to the people of Israel. I will show him how much he must suffer for my name.' Then Ananias went to the house and entered it. Placing his hands on Saul, he said, 'Brother Saul, the Lord Jesus, who appeared to you on the road as you were coming here, he sent me so that you may see again and be filled with the Holy Spirit.' Immediately something like scales fell from Saul's eyes, and he could see again. He got up and was baptized, and after taking some food, he regained his strength." You see, Jesus sent Ananias to go open up Paul's eyes. Jesus opened up his eyes, and through that, Paul's life began to change. He had a new beginning here. Interesting thing is that Ananias had a new path too that Jesus brought to him, a new beginning with a new brother he never even thought could be possible. Here he goes to a man he had heard, and yet he had the faith in God to go do it. And he goes there, and here the scales come off of his eyes. Jesus takes those away from him. They fell from his eyes, and he could see again. And when he could see, what did he do? He got up. and he was baptized. And after taking some food, he regained his strength. What is blinding you to the truth? You see, Paul was blinded. Let's go back. What did Paul say in Acts 22? That he was doing this wholeheartedly, serving God. But he was wrong. He was wrong. What he thought he was doing was wrong. Jesus had to come here and blind him so he could find out the truth here. What is blinding you? What obstacle is in the way that prevents you from seeing? What is something that maybe you love that is preventing you from doing that? What is it out there that you just can't let go of that continues to blind you from the truth? If there is something out there that is more important, I ask you, get it out of your life. Get it out of your path of your eyes. Get it away so you can see clearly what is most important. Jesus can take that thing out of your life. He can allow you to see again. Jesus can prevent you from being blind to the truth. What is blinding you to the truth? And if there's something that's doing that, please, please, I ask you, let Jesus remove that from you. Jesus can change your speech. Verse 19, Saul spent several days with the disciples in Damascus. And once he began to preach in the synagogues that Jesus is the Son of God, all those who heard him were astonished and asked, "Isn't he the man who raised the havoc in Jerusalem among those who call on his name? And hasn't he come here to take them as a prisoner to the chief priests?" Yet Saul grew more and more powerful and baffled the Jews living in Damascus by proving that Jesus is the Messiah. Can you imagine what people were thinking? I mean, they're saying it here. Here Paul, one day, is throwing people in jail, helping stone people, putting them in prison, preaching about Christ. And the next day, what's he doing? He's preaching about Christ. And he's proving to them that Jesus is the Messiah. You're talking about a transformation. You're talking about a new beginning. This is the greatest new beginning of all time. Here Paul is changing his speech. And Jesus can do that. Jesus can change our speech. And he can help us to be able to teach, to be able to preach, to be able to talk not like the world, to be able to talk a different way. I'm just astonished by this, and so were the ones that were there. I imagine that some were thinking he was like undercover. You know, maybe he was coming in and waiting for a whole group to come, and he was going to arrest them all. I mean, imagine, people being fearful of their life, and the guy that was heading it up is now preaching about the Messiah. That's like one of the heads of ISIS coming to the United States and denouncing everything to do with Islam and the Islamic State, saying he wants to be an American citizen and fight for the Marines. Does that make any... Do we believe that would happen? The people didn't believe this about Paul either. But see, there was one thing that Paul had. That was Jesus. You see, Jesus can change your speech. Conversations are you having? What do you talk about? You know, it's interesting. Thought about this a lot, and in my own life. You talk about what's important to you. What's important to you? What are you thinking about all the time? That's what you talk about. You talk about what you meditate about. Travis was talking about that today in Psalm 100. What are you thinking about? What's on your mind? See here, Paul could have been like, "Oh, I don't know. I don't know if I should do that or not. You know, give me 6 or 7 months or a year." He just immediately started doing it. And he began to do it. So what conversations do you have? What kind of talk do you have? And if it's not the talk that you think you should have or a Christian, Jesus can help you. And Jesus can change you. And Jesus helped change Paul here to have the right kind of talk. Jesus can change your friends. Absolutely. Verse 23 here. After many days had gone by, there was a conspiracy among the Jews to kill him. But Saul learned of their plan. I want to stop right there, because I think this is an amazing thing, and we miss this sometime. Who wanted to kill Paul? His buddies wanted to kill him. These are his friends. These are the people he went to school with. These are the people 2 weeks ago, a month ago, however long it was, that he's high-fiving. They're playing checkers. They're going to parties together. They're eating. They're talking about all these things. You see how quickly his friends, his quote-unquote friends, turned on him? You know, I bet Paul probably thought, man, I'll go preach to my friends and they'll turn and convert. No. His friends wanted to kill him. And Paul caught wind of that. You think it's hard becoming a Christian? When you got to turn away from your friends aren't going to like it. And Paul's friends didn't like it either. But let's continue here. Day and night, they kept close watch on the city gates in order to kill him. But his followers took him by night and lowered him in a basket through an opening in the wall. When he came to Jerusalem, he tried to join the disciples, but they were all afraid of him, not believing that he was a disciple, really a disciple. But Barnabas took him and brought him to the apostles. He told them how Saul on his journey had seen the Lord and that the Lord had spoken to him, and how in Damascus he had preached fearlessly in the name of Jesus. So Saul stayed with them and moved about freely in Jerusalem, speaking boldly in the name of the Lord. He talked and debated with the Hellenistic Jews, but they tried to kill him. When the believers learned of this, they took him down to Caesarea and sent him off to Tarsus. Then the church throughout Judea, Galilee, Samaria enjoyed the time of peace and was strengthened, living in the fear of the Lord and encouraged by the Holy Spirit. It increased in numbers. You want to see what Jesus can do in your life? The people who he wanted to kill, the people he wanted to put in jail, the people he was fighting against helped save his life. You see, he found out who his real friends were. He found that these Christian people who he was wanting to get rid of actually helped and came to his rescue and helped save his life. And the people he thought he was his real friends, his real friends wanted him dead. His real friends wanted to kill him. You see, Jesus changed his friends and he found out what true friendship was. He found out about what Jesus can do in your life and about what friends you can have. Who are your real friends? Who are your real friends? Are they looking out for you? Do they care about your spiritual life? Do they care about your eternal destiny and your eternal home? Are they looking out for you? Are these friends of convenience? Are these friends of... you know, I'm in sales, and I hate to say this, but there's so many people who are friends of... I'm trying to think of the best word to put it. What's this person going to do for me tomorrow, and how they're going to help me make money? Is that how your friends are? You're only there because you have this acquaintance or friend because they're going to help you sometime later in life. That's not the friends. Real friends are the ones who look out for you and take care of you and are caring for you and care about your spiritual welfare and are there beside you through thick and thin. And Paul found out who his real friends were. You see, Jesus changed his friends. And he got to see that as his life changed. Who are your friends? Who are your real friends? Is it time to get new friends? Is it time to have a new beginning? And if you have friends that are they're telling you and trying to prevent you from putting Jesus in your life, not so sure they're your real friends. Verse 31. Jesus can change your mission. Then the church throughout Judea, Galilee, Samaria enjoyed time of peace and was strengthened, living in the fear of the Lord and encouraged by the Holy Spirit. It increased in numbers. You see, Paul went on to have 3 missionary journeys throughout all. He became one of the greatest preachers of all time, one of the greatest writers in history. His book has been read, his writings have been read more than anybody's probably in the world that's been written. You see, Paul had a mission, and Jesus put him on it. And Jesus can change your mission in here. Some of our missions may be to, I don't know, be president, or be CEO of a company, or be a millionaire, or whatever it is. But when Jesus comes in your life, you'll see what's important. You'll begin to see what your real mission is. And if that mission is to go home in heaven with your Father someday, and help bring as many people with you as possible. Because every soul matters. Every soul matters. And to think of even eternity without God and the possibilities is unbelievable. Jesus can change your mission. So what's your mission? What's your mission? If you don't have one, we'd be willing to study with you and be able to tell you what God's mission. And as Jesus said here, I'm going to tell Paul, I'm going to tell him what he has to do for me. And he did. And the Bible can tell us the same thing. What's your mission right now? What's the most important thing to you? Do you want a new beginning? Do you want a new beginning? See, it must have been hard for Paul. And I put a quote up here. It must have been hard for a new beginning. I put this up here. I thought this was good. Nobody gets to live life backward. Look ahead. That is where your future lies. Look ahead. That's where your future lies. You know, Paul could have been sitting around and going, man, I killed people. I was the worst sinner ever. I can't go teach and preach. I can't go do anything. I can't change because I'm so bad. You see, with Jesus, anything is possible. And even somebody as bad as Paul and had done things as bad as Paul, he can turn your life around. Right now, we got to put what's in our life in the past. And all of us, including myself, there are a lot of things I've done in my life I'm not happy about. There are a lot of things I've said. There are a lot of things of acts I've done. There are a lot of things. But there's a new beginning. And every day, we can try to be a better Christian. We can serve God. We can put the past behind us. If you're not a Christian right now, don't. You can be baptized. You can wash away your past. Wash away your sins and have a new beginning. If you're someone here who's a Christian and your life is kind of went in a different direction, you can have a new beginning tonight. You can put the past behind you and focus on the future of getting home with your Heavenly Father someday. You see, with Jesus, your life can change and you can have a new beginning. Jesus can change your life. And if you want a new beginning, tonight I ask you to let Him do that. Let Him change your life. If you have not become a Christian, why not tonight? Why not come tonight and let that your life, you know, be changed? And remember that January 2016 is the year that you started a new beginning and service to Christ. If you're someone who has fallen away, you had that fire at one point in your life and you really tried to serve God, And whatever happened, tonight you can start over. You can start over with a new beginning. If anyone is subject to the invitation, please come now as we stand and sing.